Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in God's word. For there is no word like God's word. And I will make known God's faithfulness and mercy is what God gave me this morning. Coming out of Psalm 89, 1 through 4, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With all my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to my servant David, your seed I will establish forever and build up your throne to all generations. We must be bold to speak on the greatness and the goodness of God. Hallelujah. I'm thankful this morning that God woke me up. I'm thankful this morning that God gave me a new day. I'm blessed beyond measure, a child of God, and he loves me, and he loves you. He loves us all. Praise the Lord, everybody, this morning. Don't let anybody knock you off your square, because the enemy is busy. You know, I was reading a post that I put and noticed that it took faithfulness and made it faithless. God is faithful, not faithless. The devil is a liar and a cheat, and there's nothing good about him. We got to start praising God daily and not allow the enemy to knock us off our square. So good morning, family. We're going to get into the word today, but we're going to first, as we do every morning, go to Psalms 19 and 14. Lord God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord, my strength. My strength and my redeemer. Father God, I lift this word up to you this morning, knowing that you, Lord God, are speaking through me. Lord, use me for your glory. Use me for the betterment of your kingdom. But Lord God, I am nothing without you, and I cannot do this without you. So in the name of Christ Jesus, Father, I'm lifting up this word this morning. This word that I pray touches hearts, minds, and spirits. For you are great and greatly to be praised. You are wonderful. You are merciful. You are good. You are kind. You are loving. You are our Father God. And this morning, Lord, I speak life over all your children. I speak love over this world. As Pastor Fred said, spread love all over the world. No more hating. We got to stop, God. Help us to spread love. Help us to love each other. Help us to be kind and to speak life over our brothers and our sisters and spread love over this world. If we spread love, even if it's just a smile or an act of kindness, God, we will be spreading you. Help us to be kind. Help us to care about others besides ourselves. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father God, for your grace. I thank you, Father God, for your mercy. I thank you, Father God, for your kindness. In Jesus' name, I'm looking up, and I'm giving you honor, glory, and praise. Amen, 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 amen. All grace belongs to God. All glory belongs to God. We got to say thank you. Put a thank you in your spirit. And make known to everybody God's faithfulness and mercy. We got to have it in our own hearts. I will make known God's faithfulness and mercy. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about him. Hallelujah. Thanking God again this morning for this mighty word. And as we know, on yesterday, we started in the book of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was given an assignment. He was feeling down in his spirit as he thought about those that had gone before him. And he was like, and he just looked a mess. He was a cupbearer of the king. He prayed to God because he knew his the people weren't doing what they said they would do. And I love this word that is in Nehemiah. And we're going to go back to chapter 1. It says, remember, I prayed the world that you command your servant Moses. You know, and I love it. It says, remember, I prayed the word that you command your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest parts of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servants prosper this day. I pray and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. He was the king's cupbearer. But know, all through yesterday's message, Nehemiah was a prayer. He prayed. And we have to be prayers. And then when we got Sister Carolyn's word yesterday, what did it do but talk about prayer? Prayer changes things. Prayer changes the trajectory of everything we might be going through. Prayer comes from God, and prayer is to God. And what she said, pray until your situation changes. Miracles happen every day. So never stop believing God can change things very quickly in your life. We got to have a day of meditation. Like she said, have a meditating Monday. We got to have a believing and a trust in God Tuesday today. We got to trust in God and know that he's got us. He's got us in our coming in. He's got us in our going out. He's got us all the time. Why? Because he is God. We're going to have a trust in God Tuesday and thanking him daily for all that he is doing for us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Hallelujah. I'm believing God for miracles today. I'm believing God that all things work for our good today. Join me in praising God. Give God your hallelujah praise today. And as we get into our word this morning, we are coming out of Nehemiah chapter 3 through chapter 5, verse 19. Our psalm I just read to you this morning is 89, verses 1 through 4. Our proverb is Proverb 21, verse 27. And our book of Acts verse is Acts chapter 26. And so let's get started in our word. And it says this in the book of Nehemiah. And as we were reading yesterday in Know Your Bible, it says that they believe that this book was written by Ezra. But I personally think that the majority was written by Nehemiah, because when you look at chapter 1, it says, I was the cupbearer of the king. And that was Nehemiah. So because Ezra was a priest. So I'm believing that the book was written, maybe some of it written by Nehemiah and some of it written by Ezra. So I'm saying I think it was written by Nehemiah. the majority. But we'll read and we'll see how it sounds. So let's get in our word. And it says this, then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priest, and built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and hung its doors. They built as far as the Tower of the Hundred and consecrated it, then as far as the Tower of Hananel, next to Elishaib. The men of Jericho built the next to them, Zechar, the son Amari, built. Also the sons of Ashaniah built the fish gate. They laid its beam and hung its doors with its bolts and bars. And next to them, Miramoth and the son Urijah, the son of Koz, made repairs. Next to them, Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezebel, the bell, made repairs. Next to them, Zadok, the son of Benaiah, made repairs. Next to them, the Tekoites made repairs with their nobles, did not put their shoulders to the work of their lord. Moreover, Jehoiada, the son of Paseah, the Meshullam, the son of Sodiah, repaired the old gate. They laid its beams and hung its doors with its bolts and bars. And next to them, Maliathiah, the Gibeonite, Dadon, the Merahite, and the men of Gibeon and Mesbah repaired the residence of the governor of the region beyond the river. Next to him, Uzziah, the son of Hesharaiah, one of the goldsmiths, made repairs. And so all through this is telling us what they were doing. They were going to work for God. They were rebuilding Jerusalem. They were rebuilding God's city. They were rebuilding all the things that needed to be done. And as we go down to verse 22, it says, and after him, the priests, the men of the plain, made repairs. After him, Benjamin and Heshab made repairs opposite their house. After them, Azariah, the son of Maaseiah, the son of Ananiah, made repairs by his house. And so as we go on, it all goes down. And then when we get down to verse 26, it says, moreover, the Nethinim who dwelt in Ophel made repairs as far as the place in which, in front of the water gate, toward the east and on the projecting tower. After them, the Tekoites repaired another section next to the great projecting tower and as far as the wall of Ophel, beyond the horse gate. The priests made repairs each in front of his own house. After them, Zadok, the son of Immer, made repairs in front of his own house. After him, Shemaiah, the son of Shechaniah, the keeper of the east gate, made repairs. And as it goes forward, it tells us that after him, Hananiah, the son of Shelemiah, and Hanan, the sixth son of Zelphi, repaired another section. So as we're going, they are repairing the walls. They're repairing the towers. They're repairing what's in front of their homes. They're doing the work that God called them to do. They are working for the Lord. And as we go into chapter 4, it tells us, but it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria. And understand, remember, all through the New Testament, we wonder why they always upset with Samaria. You know, we all know that Samaria was the kingdom of Israel. That's where Israel was. Judah was at Jerusalem, and Israel was at Samaria. And so, again, when they shipped off the children of Israel from Samaria, they put in counterfeits. And then the counterfeits learned the ways of Israel. But they were still counterfeits. So these folks are mad. Because the true sons and daughters of God, the children of Judah, have come home. And I'm sure there's some Israelites mixed in with those that are from Judah that are all, because they're all Hebrews. They're all sons and daughters of Jacob. of Jacob, or Israel. And it goes on to say, and he spoke before his brothers, the army of Samaria, and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, it will break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn your reproach on your own heads and give them a plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity, and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders. So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Now it happened when Sambalot, Tobiah, the Arabs, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored, and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry, and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. Then Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build a wall. And our adversary said, they will neither know nor see anything till we have come into their midst and killed them and caused the work to cease. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came, they told us 10 times, from whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. Therefore, our position is behind the lower parts of the wall at the opening, and I set the people according to their families, with their swords, with their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord great and awesome, the Lord great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. But we know that God always goes before us, that the battles are not ours. They are the Lord. That's why we have to speak on his mercy, on his faithfulness. Don't be afraid to let folks know who you believe in. Do you believe in God? Are you setting your sight on whatever man can do? I will make known God's faithfulness and mercy. And as we go forth, it says, and it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. While the other have held the spears and the shields, the bow, and the leaders were behind all the house of Judah, those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens. So that with one hand they worked at construction, and with the other hand a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. Then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half the men held the spears from daybreak until the stars appeared. At the same time, I also said to the people, let each man and his servant stay at night in Jerusalem, that they may be our guard by night and work party by day. So neither I, my brother, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me took off our clothes, except that everyone took them off for washing. Understand, it's like we got work to do. And remember, Nehemiah finished that wall. The wall was done in 52 days. 5 plus 2 is complete. They completed it in 52 days. And as we continue, it says this in chapter 5, and there was a great outcry of the people and their wives against their Jewish brethren. But there were those who said, we are sons and our daughters are many. Therefore, let us give grain that we may eat and live. There were also some who said, we have mortgaged our lands and vineyards and houses that we might buy grain because of the famine. There were also those who said, we have borrowed money for the king's tax on our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and indeed we are forcing our sons and our daughters to be slaves, and some of our daughters have been brought into slavery. It is not in our power. And then I was angry when I heard their outcry and these words. After serious thought, I rebuked the nobles and rulers and said to them, each of you is exacting usury from his brother. So I called a great assembly against them. And I said to them, according to our ability, we have redeemed our Jewish brothers who were sold to the nations. Now indeed, will you even sell your brothers? Or should they be sold? Then they were silent and found nothing to say. Then I said, what you are doing is not good. Should you not walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the nations, our enemies? I also with my brethren and my servants am lending them money and grain. Please let us stop these users. We got to stop being users. Usury is a word where you use somebody for your own thing but never want to do anything for them. We got to not have a usury spirit. And now this part here, I believe probably was written by Ezra because this sounds like something a priest would say. This sounds like something that a man of God who is in the throne room is saying, that he's getting folks back on track. And we all have to be careful of usury spirits in our life. We don't want anybody to be less than, to make, be made to be feel like they're being used. Come on now. For their work. And that's what was going on. They were selling each other. They're doing the same thing that the wicked folks that they came from was doing. And then he told them, he said, then they were signs up down on this day. Then I said, what you are doing is not good. Should you not walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the nations, our enemies? I also with my brethren and my servants am lending them money and grain. Please let us stop this usury. Restore now to them, even this day, their land, their vineyards, their olive groves, and their houses. Also a hundredth of the money and the grain, the new wine and the oil that you have charged them. So they said, we will restore it and we'll require nothing from them. We will do as you say. Then I called the priests and required an oath from them that they would do according to this promise. Whew. Then I shook out the fold of my garments and said, so may God shake out each man from his house and from his property who does not perform this promise. Even thus may he be shaken out and emptied. And all the assembly said, amen, and praise the Lord. Then the people did according to this promise. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 12th year until the 22nd year of King Xerxes, 12 years, neither I nor my brothers ate the governor's provisions, but the former governor who were before me laid burdens on the people and took from them bread and wine, besides 40 shekels of silver. Yes, even the servants bore rule over the people, but I did not do so because of the fear of God. Indeed, I also continued the work on the wall, and we did not buy any land. All my servants were gathered there for the work. And at my table were 150 Jews and rulers besides those who came to us from the nations around us. Now that which was prepared daily was an ox and 6 choice sheep. Also fire was prepared for me and once every 10 days an abundance of all kinds of wine. Of this I did not demand the governor's provision because the bondage was heavy on these people. Remember me, my God, for I for good according to all that I have done for these people. We want God to remember us for the things we do that are good. because he's already, through Jesus Christ, forgiven us of our sins. Hallelujah. Thank God for redemption. But he is our strength and our redeemer. And as we go back to the life lessons from this word this morning, it says this in Nehemiah 4:9, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. The enemy comes at us all the time. God puts a standard around us. God puts a watch over us. God sends an angel to be over you, to watch over you, to lead and guide you. All we got to do is believe. And it goes on to tell us, Nehemiah responded to his enemy's scorn, not with sharp barbs of his own, but with prayer. When we pray for God's protection, he often inspires us to take a sensible precaution against the danger we see. We ask God to do what only he can do, and we do what he gives us the strength and wisdom to do. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord this morning. Give God the glory this morning. Hallelujah. Give God a high praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the strength of a Nehemiah, the strength of an Ezra, the strength of those that have gone before us to prepare the way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for taking our sins, our sinful, ugly selves to the cross. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And it goes on to tell us, for a life example, Nehemiah daring to believe despite moments of doubt and unease, Nehemiah demonstrated great faith in God. Driven by a vision that he believed came from God, he dared to trust in a sovereign Lord who always keeps his promises. Nehemiah told the people, the God of heaven himself will prosper us, therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. Nehemiah understood that if he didn't depend on God to get the job done, it would never get done. But he also understood that genuine belief requires practical action. So he told his colleagues, remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brother. Ooh, an ancient version of the faith, praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Ooh, glory to God. Because Nehemiah trusted God and moved forward, he successfully completed the vision God has given him. Whatever challenge confronts you, God has promised to grant you success when you put your trust in him. Hallelujah. Are you putting your trust in God today? Are you putting your trust in him? Nehemiah 5:7, after serious thought, I rebuke the nobles and rulers. A solid prayer life and a close relationship to God do not minimize the need for clear and extensive thinking. Rather, these things empower and sharpen our thoughts. Give over to God what belongs to God, which is you, all of you. Nehemiah 5:9, should you not walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the nations? Part of walking in the fear of God means that we watch carefully how we behave in front of those who do not yet know God. Whew. All I got to say, come on now. I'm going to read that again from Dr. Stanley, because it is our assignment. Of walking in the fear of God means that we watch carefully how we behave in front of those who do not yet know God. You know, we say it all the time, and we've heard it in the pulpit, where the pastors will say, you may be the only Christ or the only person of God that a person sees. How you act in public, how you carry yourself, is a reflection of your Father. You remember how your parents used to tell you, don't you go out of this house acting up. Don't you make me look bad. That's exactly how God feels. He don't want us to make him look bad. He wants us to make him look good. So when you go out and you representing God, act like it. I'm going to read it one more time from Dr. Stanley. Should you not walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the nations? Nehemiah 5 and 9. You know, and then again, it would be the Nehemiah Ezra. I'm believing it was Nehemiah. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I believe Nehemiah was written by Nehemiah. So as we continue on, it tells us this. It says part of walking in the fear of God means that we watch carefully how we behave in front of those who do not yet know God. Catch it. Hold on to it. Somebody is watching you and how you act. If you're not acting right, then understand we got to straighten up. We got to clean up. We got to do what we got to do. Because, again, you may be the only God, the only Jesus Christ that somebody sees, that light in you, that Holy Spirit. But we are all one with God. He has adopted us. He has grafted us in. And we got to act like our daddy. And it says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, Colossians 4 and 5. We got to have wisdom in how we act and how we treat others. And as we continue in Proverbs 21:27, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he brings in with wicked intent? We all know there are those out there that are just wicked, and they do some nasty, awful things. We pray for them, and we keep it moving. And as we get ready to go forth, you are listening to Blog Talk Radio. It is Moving Forward with Minister Bridget. And we are coming this year. And I say this year because this is a yearly Bible study of the Bible. And the assignment for me is to read the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. And so again, this year we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year Signature Series. I am coming out of New King James. And again, my disclaimer, I am not paid by In Touch Ministries or any ministry dealing with Dr. Stanley to hawk this Bible. But I will tell you, this Bible is one of the greatest Bibles I've ever had as far as a daily Bible study. It is wonderful. It will take you where you need to go. It takes you through every book, every chapter. And he does it in a way that it all just sticks together so that we will finish in 1 year. We all know I did not read the Psalms because the Psalm I read earlier this morning, it where our word is coming from. And I'll read one more time, and then we're going into our book of Acts, chapter 26. And it says, it's the contemplation of Ethan the Ezraite. And it says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my children. I have sworn to my servant David, your seed I will establish forever and build up your throne to all generations. Hallelujah. God is he's great and greatly to be praised. So we got to open our mouths and start telling folks about our God. I will make known God's faithfulness and mercy. Make known God's faithfulness and mercy. Let folks see you. And sometimes all they see of God's faithfulness and mercy is you. Show folks who your daddy is. Don't go out there acting up. As we say, don't embarrass your father. So don't embarrass, we can't embarrass our father. Hallelujah. And as we go back into chapter, Acts chapter 26, as we know, Paul is on his journey to Rome. And now he has been in prison. He was in prison under Felix, and Felix left him there, and now he's under Agrippa. And the Jews have come to try to get him again because they want to kill him. But again, it is not their place. And Paul already knows because God says, you will take me to Rome. So Paul is going to go to Rome because that's his destiny. That's his destiny, is to die in Rome. But he will spread the gospel even to the Romans. As we all know, it worked. Hallelujah. And we have Christianity today. And it says this in Agrippa, said to Paul, you are permitted to speak for yourself. So Paul shook out his hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things of which I am accused by the Jews, especially because you are expert in all customs and questions which I have to do with the Jews, which have to do with the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to hear me patiently. Paul's like, be patient with me because I got some things to say. My manner of life from my youth, which was spent from the beginning among my own nation at Jerusalem. All the Jews know. They knew me from the first if they were willing to testify that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promises made by God to our fathers. To this promise, our 12 tribes earnestly serving God night and day hope to attain. But this hope, said King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead? Because that is a Pharisee belief. Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them, and I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all heard, all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the gird. Is it hard for you to kick against the gourds? Or gourds, which are like squash, fall fruits, or fall vegetables. You know, so your squash and your different gourds, different, mostly squashes. You know, so it says, so I said, who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? Because Saul didn't have a clue. He was persecuting. He didn't believe. He had his own belief system because he was a theologian. He was an educated man. And so he did everything based on what he learned as a child growing up in a theologian household. Paul was like a PK. He was a preacher kid. But again, so he had a belief. But when that belief came to fruition, he didn't understand how to deal with it. And so we're going to go back one more time. And he says, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you. It is hard for you to kick against the cords. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, you are persecuted. Arise and stand on your feet. For I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I know, whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Woo! Again, he said, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you. Paul was sent for us, for Gentiles. And that's what we say we are until God shows us different. And he goes on to tell, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Jesus spoke these words to Paul, well, at the time, Saul. And he got it. He understood. He had an assignment. And as we continue, it says, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. For these reasons, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day, I stand witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Now, as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things, for I am convinced that none of these things escaped his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuaded me to become a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. When he had said these things, the king stood up as well as the governor and Bernice and those who sat with them. And when they had gone aside, they talked amongst themselves, saying, this man is doing nothing deserving of death or chains. Then Agrippa said to Festus, this man might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. Wow. And as we go back over the life lessons from Acts, it says this in the first, in Acts 26:9, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Paul could understand the animosity of the Jewish leaders against him because only a few short years before he had shared their fierce hatred of Christianity. He knew who could feel, he knew one could feel in the right while being deeply in the wrong. And we see it every day in our nations. All over this planet, we see this every day. People who are wrong want to be right. He knew one could feel in the right while being deeply in the wrong. And that is a today word, hallelujah. in Acts 26:20. They should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. A gospel highlighting divine grace and faith in Jesus does not eliminate the need for repentance and godly behavior. Grace gives us the ability and the desire to obey, not the right and safety to disobey. God has blessed us. God has given us grace, but we cannot abuse it. We cannot abuse the gift that God has given us. We got to stand on his word. Acts 26:32, this man might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. Was this an immense mistake on Paul's part? No. Brother Paul's appeal to Caesar helped to fulfill God's command to Paul. As you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome. Acts 23:11. Paul's goal was to get to Rome, and his appeal to Caesar meant he was going courtesy of the Roman government with an armed escort, no less. Because let's not forget, there was 40-some Jews who had decided they was going to kill Paul, and they was not going to or drink until it happened. So Paul understood that the only place he could go was to Rome, which put him under protection of the Roman guard. So they couldn't get to him. They couldn't take him back to Jerusalem. They couldn't kill him on the sly. They couldn't assassinate him because he had an assignment. Are you doing your assignment today? Whatever God has called you to do, to evangelize, to teach, to preach, whatever your assignment is, just do it. If your assignment is to pray, then pray. Ooh, Lord, do what God called you to do on this day. And as you go forth in your day, never forget, I will make known God's faithfulness and mercy. We got to tell folks about our God as we tell God about the fact we need him. We all need him. We need him, as the song says, every day. And every hour, hallelujah, we need you, Lord God. We need you. And as we get ready to wrap it up this morning, if there's anyone that God has put a word on your heart, then now is the time to raise your hand by pushing the number 1 on your phone. And your line will be open. And a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning, is that things have a way of working out. Never underestimate the power of prayer, faith, and love. More than anything, never underestimate the power of God to see you through. Have a triumphant Tuesday. And again, Sister Carolyn is right on point with our lesson today. Right on target, right on point. Everything she said is right there for us. We got to understand that God is in charge of everything. And he's got you. Thank him again. Again, one more word from my sister. Things have a way of working out. Never underestimate the power of prayer, faith, and love. More than anything, never underestimate the power of God to see you through. Thank you, Jesus. And as we get into our prayer for this morning, it says, increase my faith. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Luke 17:5. And it says this, mighty God, you speak and the earth trembles. When you move, all of creation bows to your intentions. There is not a living thing that is outside of your grasp. You can easily reach everyone who cries out to you for help. You are the originator of all things, including my own faith. Lord, as I live for you in this life, would you fill it with the goodness of your character? As your child, I know I can come to you with anything, and you will receive me. And yet, even the apostles who journey with Jesus day to day ask for him to increase their faith. How much more do I need an increase? Lord, I believe in you. The pattern of your love is all over my life. even so increase my faith, Lord, that as I journey with you, I would walk in greater confidence in who you are in my life and in who you are in me and I in you. And it says today, I question, what do you need more faith for? Whatever it may be, know that God's got you covered in every way and in every situation. And that is our word today. Again, if there's anyone that God has given a word to, now is the time to lift that hand by putting the number one on your device. Push number one. Hallelujah. Good morning, Evangelist. Your line is open.
Yes, I just want to give all praise, honor, and glory to Daddy God. For yesterday, I was facing 4 appointments starting at 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. But I said, God, I need your glory. I need your favor on my life today as I step out my door. I got to the hospital to have CAT scan number one, and I just kindly mentioned, hey, I have to come back today. They said, you know what, let's look into it. I got both CAT scans done at the same time. Hallelujah. Went over, had the ultrasound on my legs. Great. Went to the cardiologist, and they said, Ms. Green, we cannot operate on the IVC filter. You've had it in for 4 years. If we try to take it out, you would bleed to death. I said, oh, thank you, Lord. I'm healed. It shall never come out until you say it will. Then I came home, and I was like, God, I know that I know I shall hear about my head CT, for they had said that I had had 2 strokes. But I serve God, who says I can restore everything the devil stole from you, my daughter. Got a call from my doctor's office, and hallelujah. My brain is normal. No strokes. The arteries in my neck are working good. Hallelujah. We serve a God who is the ultimate healer. Whatever you're in need of today, trust God. For God said, I am your deliverer, your healer, your way maker, your promise keeper. Believe in God, for he believes in us. And I thank and praise him for the healing virtue he has flowing through our bodies right now in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, God. Thank you.
The Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you so very much, Evangelist Teresa, for your testimony. We don't know what anybody else is going through. We don't know what health struggles they may be having, but God does. And our God is faithful. He's faithful in his mercy. He's faithful in his grace. He's faithful in his love for us. And all we have to do is believe. My sister in Christ went in believing that all is well. Hallelujah. We got to have that Shulamite woman spirit. All is well. All is well. Your baby's laying dead. But all is well.
All is well.
Knew that the prophet would come and heal your child. And what did he do? He came and your child was made well. We know that God can and God will, because all is well when we trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. Getting happy with you, sis. Getting happy with you because we know we serve Almighty God.
Yes.
He says, Almighty God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Because
what he does for
Hallelujah.
Us, he can do for everybody. We must have total faith in God.
Total faith.
Because he can move that mountain before us. He can carry us through the valley. And he will, as long as we just say, Lord, take my hand. I need you today. My loved ones are not here, but you are the one who loves me unconditionally. Take my hand and guide your servant through. when everything else around you looks bleak and dark, know that you're coming out of that, and that our God, who sits high and looks low, has already got you covered. No matter what storms are coming your way, He is a promise keeper, a healer, and a deliverer. There's nothing He can't do but fail, and He will not fail us.
Amen. And what God has put in my heart this morning, this is this.
Yes.
To just give these lyrics from C.C. Winer's Goodness of God as we get ready to wrap it up. And we say for those that have to leave at 8 a.m. sharp is, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. But these words I leave with you as we get ready to wrap up this morning. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Because all my life, I can attest to this, and I'm sure you can attest as well, evangelist. Because all my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good with every breath that I am able. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. Yes. And we can all say together, because all my life, you have been faithful. You have, all my life, you have been so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing, and I can say, I will speak of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after me with all my life laid down. I surrendered now. I give you everything. Oh, Lord, your goodness is running after me. And as we wrap it up, all my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I will sing and I will speak of the goodness of God. Thank you, family, for joining us this morning of God's goodness, wherever you are. As a word for today said, I will make known God's faithfulness and mercy. Have a blessed day, family. Allow His goodness to chase after you, to run after you, be a part, be faithful, and know that God's mercy surrounds you. Have a blessed day. Thanking God for you, evangelist, for your great testimony this morning. Be blessed, everybody. It's a wrap. What? We got to go to work, y'all. It's time to go to work. Let's go out and build God's kingdom. Have a blessed day, family. It's time. It's time to go to work. Love you all. Be blessed and have a great day. It's a wrap. Why? Because we are always willing, ready, available, and present. Pray for each and every one of you. I'll see you in prayer today, evangelists. Have a great day. God bless you, and God bless you all. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.
Bye-bye.